Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Purport. The word destiny is now defined. Unintelligent persons who do not understand the meaning of life are just like animals. Animals do not know the past, present, and future of life, nor are they able to understand it. But a human being can understand this if he is sober. Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Duryas Tatra Namuyati, a sober person is not bewildered. The simple truth is that although life is eternal, in this material world, one changes one body to another. Foolish people, especially in this age, do not understand this simple truth. Krishna says, Deino smin yata dehe, komaram yovanam dara, yata dahantara praptir, diras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self. Therefore, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Duryas Tatra Namuyati, a sober person is not bewildered. The simple truth is that although life is eternal, in this material world, one changes one body to another. Foolish people, especially in this age, do not understand this simple truth. Krishna says, Deino smin yata dehe, komaram yovanam dara, yata dahantara praptir, diras tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Krishna, the greatest authority, says that the body will change. And as soon as the body changes, one's whole program of work changes also. Today, I am a human being or a great personality. But with a little deviation from nature's law, I shall have to accept a different type of body. Today I'm a human being, but tomorrow I may become a dog. And then whatever activities I have performed in this life will be a failure. The simple truth is now rarely understood. For one who is a dhira can understand this. Those in this material world for material enjoyment should know that because their present position will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. This is also stated by Rishabhdev. Nasada manye yati atmano yam asanapi kleshada ashadeha. Although this body is temporary, as long as we have to live in this body, we must suffer. Whether one has a short life or a long life, one must suffer the threefold miseries of material life. Therefore, any gentleman, dhira, must be interested in Jyotisha astrology. Nana Maharaj was trying to take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Garga Muni's presence, for Garga Muni was a great authority in this knowledge of astrology, by which one can see the unseen events of past, present, and future. It is the duty of a father to understand the astrological position of his children and do what is needed for their happiness. Now, taking advantage of the opportunity afforded by the presence of Garga Muni, Nana Maharaj suggested that Garga Muni prepare a horoscope for Nanda's two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Jyotisham ayanam sakshad yat. What's that? Yat tajgyan. Everyone's so ecstatic reciting the verse. Yes. Jyotisham ayanam sakshad yattalkyanam atindriyam pranitam bhavata yena puman veda paravaram. O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desdharane. Astrology is popular, even amongst the devotees. Although, amongst the devotees, sometimes they're embarrassed that they're engaged in some kind of wrong activity by finding out about astrology. That may be there to some extent, because sometimes it's unclear what is the relationship between astrology and devotional service. After all, we're supposed to be devotees, and a devotee is not, as soon as he claps his hands, then immediately all the lines of his palm are erased. Isn't that right? You can try it. Here's the lines. You know. Probably there'll be one or two lines left even after you clap your hands a few times. In any case, there's a statement in the Nectar of Devotion that the devotee claps his hands and all the sinful reactions of his past life fly away, just like when you clap your hands, birds fly out of a tree. But these particular birds, you have to clap your hands real loud for a long time. And of course, we like to hear that our sinful reactions are flying away, just like birds from a tree, but we don't like to hear that our pious activities are also flying away. That everything that we're expected in the future, our fame, our financial support, our good reputation, all our material facilities, if we clap our hands too loud during kirtan, they'll all fly away too. Therefore, sometimes we have silent kirtans. But the fact is that astrology, it has its use because it can reveal the fact that things are not going on accidentally. Even my mother, who's more or less an atheist, or proclaims herself to be an atheist, she has faith in astrology. Every time I go home, she wants an astrological reading. But unfortunately, she's unintelligent enough to connect the two. The fact that the material energy is working so exactly that when the astrologers looked at the horoscope of Parikshit Maharaj, they could tell Yudhisthira Maharaj that in such and such time, one snake bird will fly through the air and bite Parikshit Maharaj, and he'll be killed and go back to Vaikuntha. Such was the prowess or the expertise of the astrologers. Therefore, people took astrology quite seriously. Unfortunately, in present society, astrology has been degraded, especially in the Western world, to the Sunday papers and explaining what your sun sign is, as if there's only 12 types of people in the world. And there's 12 different possibilities of what your future is, at least for this week. The Leos will all be happy, and the Tauruses will all be sad. Therefore, sometimes you find a happy Taurus and a sad Leo, even during the week, and people lose faith in such Sunday paper astrology. But astrology is quite a bit more complicated than that. That an expert astrologer, he can tell what one has done in the past, one can tell about one's present condition, and one will be able to tell what will happen in the future. One who finds an expert astrologer, he becomes very impressed, and he begins to realize that things are not happening arbitrarily. And therefore, tatte nukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam vidvagvapuvir vidadan manaste jivaita ye yo bhakti pade sadayabhak. That tolerating the problems that we have, and who doesn't have problems in the material world? Everyone has problems. But generally, everyone blames their problems on someone else. It's the person next door because he was nasty, therefore I couldn't sleep last night, or I got bad luck this week in the races, and therefore I lost all my money, or my grandmother sneezed on me, and therefore I'm sick. Everyone wants to blame someone else for their problems. And as a result of that, either one laments that the world is unfair, if there is a God, he's not fair at all. And this is even manifested in subtle ways. Just like one time I heard on a tape, Srila Prabhupada was talking to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, and they were talking about food for life, feeding people in poverty-stricken countries. And Prabhupada said it's good for them to starve. That it's not, just like if a person is diseased, then sometimes the doctor recommends that he fasts. Not that the doctor is cruel, and therefore simply out of spite or envy, he wants to see the patient suffer. But having the patient's interest in heart, sometimes he orders the patient to fast. Similarly, by the workings of the material energy, because of people's previous sinful activities, sometimes they're put into a situation where they have to suffer some reaction, such as being without adequate food. But we have to understand that this is by the arrangement of the supersoul, not arbitrarily, but due to the person's own previous activities. Therefore, those who have the idea that we are the savers, that somehow or another God couldn't get it together, he couldn't feed these poor people, but I'm better than God, and therefore I'm going to go and do what God couldn't do and feed them. This is more or less this so philanthropic work, although it has a very high estimate and the ideas of modern persons, because they have no conception of God, or not a very clear conception of God. Therefore, they take this as a very high, elevated consciousness to feed the poor. Therefore, there are religious groups, so-called religious groups, who are reputed because they feed the poor. One of them is called the Morgi Mission. Morgi means chicken. Because they feed chicken Narayan, or goat Narayan, to Daridra Narayan. Poor Daridra Narayan. Everyone is God. And poor God, this God is broke and starving. Therefore, we have to sacrifice another Narayan, two-wing Narayan, and feed this poor Narayan, Daridra Narayan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he became very... Kalamakanta Vishvasa, who was the secretary of Advaita Acharya, one day he wrote a note to Pratapurudra Maharaj, King Pratapurudra, saying, Advaita Acharya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somehow or another he's incurred a debt of some 50 rupees or so, or 500 rupees, I forget how much it was. Some hundreds of rupees, and unfortunately he can't pay it, so please excuse him. And somehow or another this note came to the attention of Lord Chaitanya, and when he saw it, he became very disturbed. And immediately said, "This bowel, Kamalakanta Vishwasa, I never want to see the face of this man again." He says that Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is an undoubtedly a fact. But at the same time, he says that he's poverty-stricken. How God can be poverty-stricken? God is the husband of the goddess of fortune. How is it that he's poverty-stricken? Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I never want to see him again." Of course, by the mercy of Advaitacharya, Kamalakanta Vishwasa got to see Lord Chaitanya quite soon. But still, this philosophy of Dharidra Narayan is an insult to Lord Krishna, and more or less, this philosophy has its subtle implications. As if God, he doesn't know how to arrange the material world properly, or as we heard in another book written by one rabbi whose last name happened to be Krishna, but not related to the Hare Krishna movement. He wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And his opinion was that God, although he's a kind person, more or less, a little old and crankety sometimes, but because he's so old, therefore he can't keep it together anymore. He has arthritis, his hands are shaking, he's trying to hold on to the world and to the people in it, but he just can't keep it together anymore. Sometimes he forgets, you know, where he left this planet or that planet. And therefore, sometimes, although he tries hard, bad things happen to good people. Don't be sad, don't be mad, just try and forgive the old codger. So this type of philosophy makes God very unattractive. Why should I take shelter of God? He couldn't help me. Let me go to the bank and pray, "My dear bank manager, please give me my daily loan." That if God can't help, then let me try someone else. But here it says that nothing's happening by accident. And one can realize that if one is able to meet even a bona fide astrologer who's able to say that because in your past life you did this or you did this thing, therefore in this present life you have this type of karma. And in the future, you'll get this type of reaction. On one level, this has nothing to do with devotional service, in the sense that it doesn't really matter for a real devotee, a pure devotee, what his reactions are. The material world is one of endlessly bad reactions. As Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the material world there's nothing auspicious or inauspicious. Actually, everything is inauspicious, because the very material existence is inauspicious. Although in the material world, we take something as being good and something being not good. If we have money, if we have followers, if we have beautiful women, if we have so much material opulence, we take this as very good. These are the reactions for our pious activities. And if we are diseased, if we take a low birth, if we're being afflicted by some legal implications, we take this as very inauspicious. And indeed, this is caused by our past impious activities. But factually, whether we're suffering from impious activities or enjoying so-called pious activities, everything is different degrees of suffering. As we all can think of now, as proof, we can meditate on what part of my body is causing me the most suffering right now. Is it right now? It's my knees. Maybe it's your stomach or your back of your head or something. Something's causing, for my mind is causing me problems. Yesterday was too cold, today's too hot. they should open up the window and someone else is thinking they should close it. At every moment, we're experiencing varieties, but varieties of problems. And when we have less problems, we think we're enjoying, and we have more problems, we think we're suffering. And when everyone else is glorifying our problem, we think, oh, this is very nice. And if someone's criticizing my problems, I think that this is very not so nice. In any case, the material world is one of endlessly trying to alleviate problems and trying to find out how to get into an existence where there are no problems. And astrology can give us a clue to the fact why we're suffering or why we want to, or how we'll enjoy in the future. But it doesn't, ordinary astrologer won't tell us the fact that this is all a waste of time. The real activity of the soul has nothing to do with this material world, either auspicious or inauspicious. The real activity of the soul is to be in the spiritual world where everything is auspicious, to elevate his consciousness so that he's always remembering Krishna. To that means even Gajendra, who's an elephant, Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ladita Vishaka Kijai, he was able to become fully Krishna conscious. And even the crocodile, although he got a sore throat, he was able to become Krishna conscious also. Similarly, there was one dog. Here it's mentioning about dogs. It's not very good to become a dog. We don't recommend it. Although, as I mentioned before in one lecture, one student, after Prabhupada was explaining this philosophy about how if you act sinfully, you might become a dog. So the student at the end of the lecture stood up and said, Swamiji, you say that if I act sinfully, I might become a dog. Therefore, I'd like you to know that I don't mind if I become a dog. And Prabhupada smiled and said, you have my blessings. Although it's not recommended to become a dog, still in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a dog became a devotee of Shivananda Sen and accompanied him to Jagannath Puri. And Shivananda Sen, being a Mahabhagavata, thought that this devotee is just one of my party. He'd feed the dog, he'd pay for all his taxes. It's across the road. Generally, dogs don't have to pay taxes, but to get on the boat, he paid special money so the dog could get on the boats. But one day, the assistants of Shivananda Sen didn't feed the dog, and the dog left and went to Jagannath Puri by himself. But when Shivananda Sen and his party arrived at Jagannath Puri, they found that same dog was being fed green coconut pulp by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally. Lord Chaitanya was tossing him green coconut pulp, and the dog was jumping up in the air and eating it. And then Lord Chaitanya was saying, chant Hare Krishna, and the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. And finally he leaped up and went back to Vaikuntha. But in the meantime, when Shivananda Sen saw this dog, then he immediately offered his obeisances, thinking that perhaps he had offended the dog by not properly feeding him. In any case, most dogs don't get this, are not on this level. Therefore, we should not aspire to follow poor prints. We should try to follow the footprints of elevated devotees who understand what the laws of nature are, and that ultimately the highest laws to follow are the laws of the spiritual world. And the law of the spiritual world is that one is an eternal servant of Krishna, and all one's activities should be dedicated to Krishna's service, to please Krishna, and those activities should be done under Krishna's authorized representatives. Any violation of that law will bring us back to the material world again. Although, as Prabhupada says, if one engages in devotional service, if he doesn't become a completely pure devotee, still, even if he takes birth at a low family or a low birth, still auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue. In other words, there's nothing we can do to stop having to get the reactions for what we do. It is not that because I'm a devotee, sometimes it's erroneously thought, that I can do whatever I want to do, and because I'm a devotee, everything is all right. But the fact is that whatever we do, the super soul, he's noting it down in his newest IBM computer with unlimited memory. And he arranges in the future the reactions for our activities. Therefore, we find so many varieties of living entities, and indeed, sometimes we find devotees in lower species of life. When Lord Chaitanya was passing through the Jharikhanda forest with Balabhadra, he came upon one tiger, and Balabhadra became very afraid. But Lord Chaitanya kicked the tiger with his foot and said, "Chant the holy name of Krishna." And the tiger immediately stood up and went, "Ah, Krishna!" And Lord Chaitanya saw some mad wild elephants bathing, and he threw water on them, and they began to roar in ecstasy. Some of them fell on the ground screaming the holy name of Krishna. And some of them rolled on the ground, and they're all crying in ecstasy. Therefore, to take birth as an elephant, a certain type of elephant, specifically in the Jharikhanda forest, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through, may not be as inauspicious as an ordinary elephant. So certainly, such elephants must have done some extraordinary devotional activities in their last lifetime, in their previous lifetime, but they must have done something which was not so sublime in order to become an elephant. Just like Gajendra, previously it was Maharaj Indradumya, different Indradumya than the one who built the temple. But he was meditating when one sage, I think it was Angira, passed by, and Indradumya, being entranced, didn't recognize the sage, and therefore the sage cursed him that you become an elephant in your next lifetime. Agasti Muni? Someone with an A. It's probably Agastya. You become an elephant in your next lifetime, dumb elephant. And he became an elephant. But he became an elephant in the heavenly planets, and he was the king of the elephants. And at the proper time, Krishna came and delivered him. Similarly, the twin Arjun trees, who were previously Nalakovara and Manigriva, they also became trees, but they were delivered because of the association with Narada Muni. The conclusion is, the most important thing is somehow or another to get the association of the devotees and to engage in devotional service. And even if we somehow or another don't take the most auspicious birth, and there is no ultimately the most auspicious birth, because even Lord Brahma has said that he suffers. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, one will find out so many problems. Same problems we have, but on a cosmic scale. We have a little problem, no one knows about it, but he has cosmic problems. He gave birth to sons, especially had problems with children. Everyone he gave, at the beginning, it seemed like he couldn't give birth to anyone sane. He gave birth to some sons, and then they were homosexuals, and immediately they tried to attack him. He gave birth to four Kumaras, and he asked them to do something, and they said, forget it. Find someone else. And then out of his anger, he gave birth to Rudra, who started to cry. So everything seemed to be going wrong. It didn't seem at the beginning that even Brahma could do anything right. And as we find out later on, that after a while, Lord Brahma, he just goes into the forest and he starts meditating, just to get away from it all. So that's the most auspicious birth in the universe. Demons are coming to devour him. At the beginning, there's Madhu. The Madhu and the Kaitava demons come to devour Lord Brahma. Winds come to knock him off the lotus flower. Heat, bad weather, his children are attacking him. People are criticizing him. Even the gopis, they're on his case. And that's the most auspicious birth. What to speak of us? And the solution is to dhiryas tatra namuyati, to tolerate these things and to somehow or another try to go on with our devotional service. As Prabhupada once pointed out, his servant, Shruti Kirti, one day he left Prabhupada and got married. So the story is there in the Hari Sariprabhu's book, that he went and Prabhupada kept on telling him, don't cook in the kitchen. But he started to cook in the kitchen and he met one Mataji there. And they decided to cook together. And so Prabhupada, they got married. And Shruti Kirti left and he wasn't going to travel with Prabhupada. But then he came back lamenting, oh Prabhupada, and I made a mistake. And Prabhupada said, yes, it is just like before the feast, you're thinking, if only there was a feast I could really enjoy. And then the feast comes and one eats too much, and after the feast one thinks, oh, if only there wasn't a feast, then I wouldn't be suffering. So the material world is like that. There's only two activities, hankering and lamentation. Hankering for what we don't have, and then later on lamenting. Oh, this is not what I wanted. I wanted how to get rid of it. The understanding there, dhiras, one has to be tolerant, sober-minded, tolerant to the material energy, and fix one's mind upon Krishna, knowing that now I have one situation, tomorrow will be a different one. As long as I'm in the material world, there is no stability. Just like if one is on an ocean, one cannot expect that everything's going to be calm and peaceful forever. One knows at any moment a wave may come and knock the boat with me in it. The solution is not to jump out of the boat into the ocean. Oh, the boat is rocking, this is terrible. You know, they told me that this boat wouldn't rock. So let me get out of this boat. Jump into the ocean. No, one jumps into the ocean, one will have worse problems. The solution is stay on the boat and be tolerant. And at the same time, do one's business of Krishna consciousness. And the result is that one will be eligible to cross over the ocean of material existence and eventually come to the shore of the spiritual world. Therefore, there's some interest. Prabhupada said, a dhira, person who knows astrology, then he becomes dhira. He knows everything is under Krishna's control, nothing is accidental, I'm getting what I deserve, but I should do something auspicious, the most auspicious thing, become Krishna conscious and get out of the material world. Therefore, such persons as Gargamuni would go door to door to enlighten the householders. And in this way, the householders would realize that the only auspicious activity is to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, not be disturbed by their temporary ups and downs of material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any comments? Yes.
You said two examples of one child is Sri Arjuna, who can learn the elephant, Gajendra, and the other of the Arjuna tree. And both times there are saintly persons who did this person. That would mean that saintly persons always give not only curse but blessing.
You mean a blessing along with the curse or what?
A curse, yes.
Oh, not. Not every saintly person goes around cursing people. Under certain circumstances. That depends on the circumstance. The saintly person always acts for the benefit of others. If we act properly, then one gets only blessings. And if one acts improperly, then the saintly person may curse the person. But that curse will be also a benediction. Lord Shiva, for instance, when Deepi acted improperly and seduced her husband at an improper time, then Lord Shiva, he cursed her, and she had two bouncing baby demons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. But because she lamented, therefore she got some benedictions. But if one acts improperly, one will get an inauspicious result. Yes.
Those predictions for the future life and to say what you were in your past life, is that a different edition of Jyotish? Or is it the same that we usually see here?
No, it's the same division. It's called Jatika. Generally, Jyoti or astrology or Jyotis is divided into known as mundane prediction of world events. Then there's one for Hari, for predictions of when to plant grains and when to harvest crops. Then there's another one for Jatika, for individual birth charts. And there are one for medical. There are all divisions. But they're more or less all based on the same things. But this past, present, future is all Jatika. Yes.
Mark, you mentioned in the beginning that when people are starting to help them and they're suffering, this sounds incorrect.
Not incorrect, but this idea that unless I help them, you know, that it's actually by my helping them, I'm more than God. That God couldn't get it together, but I'm such a powerful, nice, such a powerful person. I'm so benevolent. I can do more than God. So this is wrong. Because, say one decides, let me feed this person. Well, that means that the person, he had some pious activities, or you had some obligation towards him, and you feed him. Now, if you don't feed him prasadam, then the person becomes strong and healthy. But because he's sinful, he gets the power to go out and rob people. That when he was weak, he couldn't get it together enough to rob anyone. But now that you've given him food, he goes out and robs and steals. So he goes to hell and you go to hell with him. Just like if someone wants to rob a bank and you come along and give him the gun, then you become responsible. Yes.
For example, we can see somebody who is in need, for example, who suffers or whatever. So should we then try to consider whether help and whether can be involved or in some simple direction? So we should just as the human just to help suffering man.
Give him some prasadam.
I'm not necessarily studying, but like for example, one is run over by truck or.
You run over by a truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, pick up the truck and take it off him. Something, or at least call the authorities. I mean, we're not insensitive to people suffering, but we should be, we should see things properly. Yes.
In that connection, one time Prabhupada talked of loka vyavahar. He said you're passing by some lake and you see some child drowning. Although you are transcendentalist or yogi, you have no obligation as such. You could just ignore the drowning child, but then the public will criticize. So you are right there and you just didn't care. So he said, He has no obligation, but as a local vyavahar, as a part of the society, and you're trying to save the drowning child. If he did, there's nothing wrong, but it's also wrong. It's combination.
Yes.
We learned from astrology that planets have influence on our life. Could you explain how it works for this mechanism?
No, I can't explain. Because as soon as everyone has their own opinion, and I haven't seen anything in scripture exactly, but from common sense we can explain. Just like the moon, everyone knows when the moon gets full, the tides increase. And that the tides are huge bodies of water. Therefore, what to speak of our little tiny body, which is something like 80% liquid. So it also has an effect on our little tiny body. If it has effect on huge oceans, the changing of the moon, so certainly it's going to have an effect on our little tiny bodies. Similarly, even sunspots, when they see sunspots, they can understand some war or some disaster is going to happen. They can understand that maybe it's the residents of the sun planet having a big festival or something, whatever it is. But by the changing of the sun, they can make predictions which are accurate. Therefore, from our experience, we can see that different bodies in the solar system have different effects even on ourselves personally, and even on different aspects of the material nature, such as the heat. Just like when the sun is in a certain place, it's hot. When it's not, a different place, it's cool. Same sun, but it affects us in different ways. Therefore, these bodies have their influence. And these influences are explained within Jyotish. Yes.
Planets having influence on other bodies. Our bodies are a body of the ocean, water body. Is that the influence of the planet or the predominating deity of the planet?
Well, if you're walking down the street and some car runs you over, you know, you can blame it on the driver, but it's also the car is what hit you. So the driver, you know, he's driving the car, but the car also has its effect.
Because it is said the different movements in your body, even opening of the eyelid or blinking or other things, they're all controlled by superior authorities.
Yeah, they're a cause in the chain of factors of causes. Just like, you know, by the influence of the wind, the waves move, and the wind is influenced by the sun, and the sun's, you know, influenced by the demigod, and Krishna within the heart of the demigod influences the demigod, Surya Narayan. So there's different one cause is the cause of something else, is the cause of something else, and ultimately Krishna is the cause of all causes. Therefore, you can't limit, they're all subordinate causes, and the only real ultimate cause is Krishna.
So it's right to say that it's not just the planets, not just the car, but the driver also.
Yeah, unless the driver
is predominating duties on those planets. The causes of to determine our future or
their association. Just like, for instance, in the Jyotish Veda by Parasara, there's different descriptions of those persons, what they look like. For instance, Saturn is a lame person, and the sun god has a big fiery body, and the moon is a man, but he's very beautiful. And these descriptions, people who are under the influence or in the association of such persons, the demigods, they also get similar characteristics. If those if that association is very strong at the time of their birth, then they also get very similar characteristics to those demigods, or the lack of those characteristics if those influences are not very predominant. And within Parasara Munis, or who is the, I guess it's Parasara Muni, then he also describes how the planets are incarnations of Krishna. And they have their effects, like the incarnations. Krishna, the moon is ruled by Krishna, and the sun by Lord Ramachandra. I think the Mars is, I forget, one of them is Lord Nrsingadev. Mars. One of them is Matsya, Korma. Korma, I believe, is Ketu. Vamana is Vamana Dev, is Venus. Jupiter that's Vamana, is Jupiter. So the different incarnations of Krishna, they also have their effect. I guess the moon, just like the moon planet, is an incarnation of, is an expansion of Aniruddha. And therefore you can trace it back to the incarnations too. Yes.
Maharaj was explaining that that people think to do good by giving this food, they can't use it for giving food, and they actually challenge God in that way. So Prabhupada also gives the example that Krishna says sometimes not to bother the people, but the devotee is more compassionate than Krishna himself. So the devotee does things sometimes Krishna is not doing. So I think sometimes we may also go wrong there by being compassionate, not in the right way. Can you say something about that?
No, we should give people Krishna consciousness, that's being compassionate. But if we become sentimental and we try and help them materially, we won't help them and we won't help ourselves either. That in the material conception of life, philanthropic work is considered to be very auspicious. But actually the real auspicious work is to give people gyan or knowledge. Knowledge of the self, knowledge of the super soul. And the highest knowledge, above all that knowledge, Prabhupada said, is to save oneself. Stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.